So just some other things that are happening in our ministry. As I mentioned, we were looking for some paper for our shipping fund. We needed to get some John Romans out, but we got those funds came in, praise the Lord. But one of the big things across the United States with all of the printing presses, paper is very challenging to get now because of production and transportation and those kinds of things. So the cover stock, the covers that you have on your John Romans, that's even more hard to get. So we're just praying that these paper mills will continue printing and being able to produce the paper for us so we'd be able to continue doing the John Romans. So even though we may have those big rolls of paper, we may not be able to put covers on them to be able to finish the booklet. So we need all the components to make it work. So we can be in prayer for that, for all the paper mills to just continue to produce for us, and that the Lord would provide the funds for our paper funds so we'd be able to continue printing. So. All right, Jeremiah chapter 6, if you're there, in chapter 6 and verse 16, says this. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for this church and, Lord, for how you're using this church to support missions and help ministries like ours, Lord, just to get the gospel printed and sent and souls to be saved, Lord. What a blessing. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless our time together now tonight. As we look into your word, I pray that you'd ready hearts, Father, for the message. And at the end, if there's decisions that need to be made during an invitation, Lord, I pray that you'd work in hearts tonight, that you'd get all the glory and honor for what's said and done here. Lord, we love you. We thank you and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of my message tonight and the question that I want you to consider as we go through these verses here is, what path will you choose? What path will you choose? At this point in our text here, Jeremiah is calling out the people of Judah for turning away from God. The nation of Israel had already fallen about 130 or so years prior to this point, and now Judah is on the same path. They're on the same path here. See, God's judgment was upon Judah for their sin and their rejection of him, and the message through Jeremiah to Judah was for the nation to repent, for the nation to turn back to God. And throughout the book of Jeremiah, we see that he's been trying to do this. He's been trying to get the Jews to turn back to God, to get back to the old paths, if you will. But the problem was that many had become backslidden. They'd become backslidden in their ways. They've turned away from God, turning back to sin, if you will. Now, throughout the book of Jeremiah, we see backsliding mentioned about 13 times or so, just throughout the book of Jeremiah alone. And throughout the Old Testament, I think other than Jeremiah, there's only four other times where backsliding is mentioned. So you can tell it's a pretty big issue during this time. It's pretty important, this issue of backsliding, if you will. And backsliding is like a willful disobedience, right? You're knowingly turning away. You're knowingly doing something wrong. And that's what was going on here. And we all know folks who have strayed from the path, don't we? Each and every one of us, we know either our friends, family members, maybe folks that should be here tonight, and they're not here tonight. You know, they're consciously refusing to follow God. They're purposely turning away from God. And that's the defiance that Jeremiah was talking about here with Judah. Turn back to chapter 2, if you will. Jeremiah chapter 2. Let's take a look at a couple verses here to see a little bit more about their backslidden condition here. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 5 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain?" He's basically saying, all that I did for you, leading you out of the wilderness, right? Bringing you up out of the wilderness and bringing you out of Egypt there and providing for you, and you still are turning away from me. You still are choosing to follow your own path and do your own thing. Drop down to verse 11 here. He says, "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit." That's a message we can park on right there. But, you know, basically they were short-sighted, right? They'd rather feed their flesh and do what they wanted to do and lose the blessings of God. And that's kind of what's happening here. And God calls them out for their backsliding in verse 19 of chapter 2 there. He says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." So the Lord was obviously not pleased with them, was he? He was obviously not pleased with what they were doing, and he was still wanting them to turn back to him, still giving them an opportunity for them to repent. He says in chapter 3 and verse 14 of Jeremiah there, he says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord." And then in verse 22, he says, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." So we can see that, you know, even when we fail him, even when we're outside of his will and not doing what he wants us to do, is he just going to leave us? He doesn't just leave us, does he? He's always there for us. He's always wanting us to turn back. He's always there with an outstretched hand, ready for us to hold on and to grab us up and to pull us up out of that miry clay. I know he did that for me many years ago, and I'm sure he did that for many of you, where he had his hand reached out. He passed by your way, and you held on to his hand, and he pulled you up out of that miry clay, and he saved your soul. And that's what he wants to do here. Turning back to God, that was the message from Jeremiah to Judah, and that's the message I want to communicate to you tonight as well, to get on and to stay on the old paths, right? God's Word. If you look back at the first part of our text here in Jeremiah chapter 6, 16, in the midst of all that was going on with Judah, their sin, their idolatry, their backslidings, here we see that Jeremiah continues to give them some solid counsel. He's telling them what they need to do here. Where he's saying, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is that good way? And walk therein." And then he says, "You'll find rest for your souls." 2 Peter 3:9 says this, says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness," right? But he is what? He's long-suffering, right? He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he's longing for sinners to come back to him. He wants sinners to come back to him and to turn away from their sin. And, you know, praise the Lord that he's patient and long-suffering, amen? He's long-suffering and he's patient. And I know he was that way with me, and I'm sure he was that way with you as well. You know, we see that God is also patient with Israel and Judah here, trying to give them another chance, another opportunity. But they had a total rejection. They had a total contempt, if you will, for God and for going God's way. They rejected the prophets. They rejected the teachers. And we see just how hard their hearts were here at the end of verse 16 in chapter 6. God was giving them another chance, but his hand was stretched out to them, as it is to us. But what do they say? They say, "We will not walk therein," right? "We don't want what you have. We're not going to go your way. We're going to do our own thing." And that's the turning away from God that we're talking about here. That was the consistent theme, if you will, throughout the book of Jeremiah. But you know, it's sad to say that that's a consistent theme in our churches today. It's a consistent theme in our world today, right? People are turning away from God. They're doing their own thing. Now, I don't need that. I got my own things. I got too many other things going on. I don't know if you've ever been door knocking or handing out flyers or anything like that. We were just in Yakima this past week, I guess. And we went door knocking, and we met a few folks. And, you know, some people say, "Oh, I'm too tired. I just got off of work." Or, "I know Jesus, but I'm not interested." So, okay, are you not interested in Jesus, or you're not interested in what I had to tell you? I couldn't figure that one out. So, you know, people will give you every excuse that they can think of just to get you out of their hair because they want to go back to their social media or go back to whatever they want, right? So, you know, Jeremiah had been doing all he could to warn the people, and we try to do all we can to let people know about Christ. We print John Romans, we knock on doors, we preach messages, whatever it is, we're doing our part. But the problem is that people's hearts are callous, and they don't want to hear the truth. And that's what was going on here in Judah. Jeremiah is trying to warn them, trying to show them that they've strayed from God, but they continue to backslide. There was a little bit of reform going on there. King Josiah tried to get them to come back to the temple, if you will, during some earlier chapters there. And they were coming back, but that was just the outward change. It wasn't the inward change. It was just a surface-based reform, if you will. But their hearts were not in what they were doing there. They were just kind of going through the motions, if you will. How many of us have kind of just gone through the motions sometimes, right? We all just kind of go through the motions. because we have to, not because we want to sometimes, right? You know, revival doesn't start, with just kind of going through the motions. It starts in our heart, right? It's got to start there. If there's no revival in our hearts, there's not going to be any genuine change on the outside. So it's got to start in the heart. And that's a reminder for us tonight. We need to be showing up at church every time the doors are open, right? We need to be reading our Bibles, studying our Bibles, having our quiet times, our prayer times. That's the old path. That's what we need to be doing. But if we just kind of keep going through those outward motions, there's never going to be a change in heart, will there? Never going to be a change in our hearts if we just kind of, you know, do the surface-based things. You know, the outward reform didn't work for Judah. And guess what? It's not going to work for us either, right? You know, we need to have that inward change in our hearts. Only the conviction of the Holy Spirit, along with a willing and humble heart, can open that door for true revival and true change. In Jeremiah chapter 3, in verse 10, he's reminding Judah of Israel's sin there. There was still no conviction, no change in their hearts. He says this, he says, "And yet for all this, for all the abominations, for all the sins that Israel committed that Judah knew about, and that they were also guilty of," Jeremiah 3 in verse 10 says, "And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord." So they were just kind of, you know, going through the motions, as I said there. The only way that we can have true revival is to get serious about turning away from our sin and turning back to God. And we need to be serious about that, especially in today's day, right? I mean, there's so much going on. Pastor alluded to that. There's just so much going on in our world today, but we know God is still on the throne. He's still in control, but the world is going to try to pull us, off of the path, if you will. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in a minute. But, you know, the folks there in Judah, they would rather stay on the path that leads to destruction, not on the path that offers rest. And, you know, God doesn't move away from us, does he? You know, the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We wind up moving away from God. But God is still the same, right? He never changes. So if you've just been going through the motions of the Christian life, or maybe you've never accepted the free gift of salvation, you need to follow the old path tonight, amen? You need to get on that old path and just get with God and let him change your lives. You know, most of you probably have been on a trail before, maybe a walking trail, maybe a bike trail. That trail, you can kind of tell where that trail is. Maybe there's a lot of grass around it, but you know that there's a very clear path leading to maybe a fishing hole somewhere. I know you like to go fishing, as mentioned here, or maybe a scenic overlook or someplace that you know hundreds, maybe thousands of people have trodden down this path to get to this place because it has an expected outcome, either, you know, the fishing hole or something like that. But, you know, what happens when you come to a crossroads? There's two paths. What do you do? I mean, you know there's a fishing hole somewhere, but which path do you take, right? So what do? You got to stop, right? You got to stop and figure out, okay, is there a sign or am I going the right way? You got to kind of ask yourself these things because maybe if you make the wrong turn, you won't get to where you want to go, right? You know, and so often, so many times, you know, we have God's word right here. This is the path that we need. This is a well-worn, well-trodden path, isn't it? These are where the answers are. When we come to crossroads in our lives, we can take God's word. This is a well-worn, well-traveled path that will give us what we need to get to that expected end, right? We just need to make the right choice and to follow his word, follow his path. Well, Jeremiah is trying to tell Judah to get back to the right path there. They were at a crossroads, if you will. They lost their way spiritually, and they needed some direction. They strayed from that well-worn, well-established path. And in our verse tonight, we see a simple outline here of the counsel that Jeremiah gives to Judah, and it's a good reminder for us as well. So in the time we have left here tonight, we're going to go through these points here as quickly as I can, and I trust it'll be an encouragement to you. So in order to determine if you're on the right path, you first need to stand still. First need to stand still or to stop, right, and evaluate where you are. Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see and ask for the old paths." That word for stand means just what it says, means to stand still. That word for way means a path or a direction or a road that you're following. And to see means to consider or to ponder or to think about. So Jeremiah is wanting them to consider the direction that they're headed. He's saying, stop, consider that direction. And he knows that they've strayed, he knows that they've backslidden, but he wants them to consider that direction that they're currently headed. Think about that path that you need to take before you take another step. Because if you continue on the wrong road, You're not going to get the blessings of God. You know, and that's good counsel for us to consider too, right? We get caught up with the hustle and bustle of life. A lot of things going on in our lives, right? We may maybe be pulled off of a path here, or maybe some things kind of cloud our way and we can't quite see what's going on there, but we might lose sight of that path and maybe we become a little comfortable being outside of that, outside of God's will. Well, what happened here in Ezra chapters 1 and 2, you don't have to turn there, but after their captivity in Babylon, Ezra chapters 1 and 2 tells us how King Cyrus made a proclamation for the Jews to go back to Jerusalem to build a temple. But what happened? How many went back? Did they all go back? They didn't all go back, did they? Maybe only 50,000 or so went back. So what does that tell you about when they were in captivity there? They became enjoying of their sin, right? They became comfortable in their sin. So much so that they didn't want to go back to the old way. They didn't want to go back to the old path, right? They were comfortable doing what they were doing there. You know, if we're not careful, we may get comfortable in our sin as well. And our hearts might become hardened to the ways of God if we're not careful as well. So when was the last time that you were honest with yourself and that you took a moment to stop, right? And to see the direction you were going. Maybe to get alone with God. Say, Lord, am I on the right path? Or is there a crossroads here? Which path do I need to take? You know, we need to do that every so often. We need to ask Him where we're at. Part of our daily prayer should be Psalm 139, 23, and 24, where it says what? Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting, right? So we need to have that conscious connection with God. And just have short accounts with God and just say, okay, Lord, every day we need to die to self and trust Him and ask Him if we're on the right path and stay on that old path. So ask here means to inquire or to consult. So I believe this, when he's talking about asking here, it's something that needs to come from within, right? A personal desire, a personal motivation of our heart that we want to inquire about the Scripture. We want to know if we're on the right path or not on the right path. Right? Or said another way, I believe we need to be studying the Word of God, asking God, right? What does the Bible say? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Are we studying the Word of God? Are we asking Him for direction? Are we asking Him for wisdom? Right? When we study the Scripture, listen to preaching, we should be asking ourselves, how can this message help me? How can this study or what I'm reading, how can this help me to stay on the path? How can this help me to further my Christian walk, right? How can I apply these things? So we need to have that spirit of humility and be willing to admit that maybe we're headed in the wrong direction. Maybe we need some counsel from God. Maybe we need that message tonight to remind me to be on that path, to be grounded and to stay grounded and to follow God and what He's asking me to do. We need to be honest with ourselves. And then when we get to that point, we simply need to stop, right? We need to stop and to look and then to get back on the old paths. Psalm 25, verse 4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths, right? Teach me thy paths. It's a personal desire here, isn't it? We have to want it. We have to want to follow God's plan and purpose for our lives, right? We have to want that. It has to be a personal desire. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and what? And He shall direct thy paths. Shall direct thy paths. So we need to be constantly studying, constantly seeking, constantly learning the Word of God, because it's His truth that will let us know if we're straying from His path, right? When we walk in the light, when we walk in His truth, we'll know that if we're off or not. The Holy Spirit will convict us. So we need to stay grounded. We need to stay focused on His Word. Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. So are you pondering the path of your feet tonight? Are you thinking about where you are and where God wants you to be? Those are the things you need to be doing. What path are you going to follow, as the title of my message suggests? You know, as we live our lives, we need to have that long-range focus of eternity in mind, don't we? But so often, we're just kind of caught up with the short-term here and now, things that are right in front of us, and we're not focused on the long-term of what God may have for you. When I was in the military, I was getting ready for another assignment, and that's kind of an exciting time for us in the military, and I was in Texas at the time. I was in a hotel getting ready for a conference, and I got the phone call from my assignments guy, and I was like, great, I'm going to find out where I'm going. Well, there's two places I didn't want to go. One was Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, and the second one was the Pentagon. Well, I'd already been to Nebraska, so I knew I wasn't going to go back there. But the other one was the Pentagon. I didn't want to go there. And I'm like, Lord, please, I don't want to go to the Pentagon. Well, the guy calls me up and he says, guess where you're going? Going to the Pentagon. I'm like, oh. So after I hung up with him, I put my clothes down in my room and I just got on my knees and I literally started crying. I was like, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want to go here. What are you doing? All that. So once I had my pity party, once I was done with all that with the Lord, I was like, okay, Lord, this is where you're sending me. I'm going to be faithful because you're sending me there and I'm going to do my best. And I'm going to go to the Pentagon and do my best. Well, looking back now, had I not gone to the Pentagon, I wouldn't have got the assignment to South Dakota, because from the Pentagon we went to South Dakota. And had I not gone to South Dakota, I wouldn't be in the ministry right now. So it's that long-range focus that I'm talking about here. We may not understand what God is doing in our lives at the time, but we need to be humble, we need to be faithful, we need to trust Him, because He's got the big picture plan, right? He knows where He wants us, He knows where He wants to use us, and it may not make sense to us right now, but we just need to be submissive, we need to be faithful, we need to follow His path, follow His plan, and He'll make it all work out. I mean, we have zero regrets for being where we are right now, because we know it's where God wants us to be. We've done our best, and we're confident that this is the path He wants for us. But how about for you? What is God doing in your life? What does He want you to do? Where does He want you to be? So every day we need to stop. We need to look at our situation. We need to see where we are in our walk with the Lord and ask, where is the good way, and am I on that good way? Am I following that path? Israel and Judah didn't follow that good way, and they reaped the harvest of their sin. It didn't have to be that way, but that's what happened for them. You know, we need to make sure that our heart and our affection and our drive and our desire is focused on finding and following that well-worn path that's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. And we need to do that. It's not following that new church with a fancy name, right? It's not following a new church that uses a more modern translation of the Bible just to try to draw people in, right? We're not talking about doing that. It's not following a church where you can come in as you are and leave the same way, where that church doesn't care about your soul, doesn't care if you're saved or not. All right, we're not talking about those things. I'm not talking about following a new way. We're talking about following the old way. We need to be standing and seeing and studying and asking, where is that old way? Where is that old path? Right? Where is that church that preaches and teaches the full counsel of God and is not ashamed to use the King James Bible? Those churches are getting harder to find these days, right? Where is that church that doesn't put on a rock concert every Sunday but still sings the old hymns of the faith like we did tonight, right? Praise the Lord for that. You know, where is that church that's still willing to call sin, sin, and is not willing to let that person leave that doesn't know Christ, that's just doing their best to try to reach that person because they care for their soul? That's the church that we need to be looking for. That's where we need to be. We need to find that old path that agrees with the Word of God and follow that path. Walking means to proceed or to go or to follow. In other words, we need to step out, right, and follow the old paths. You know, God has given us that well-worn path in His Word, and the results of following that path, the results of following Jesus, is well worth it, isn't it? Well worth following Christ. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not just a few, not just a select few. He wants all to come to repentance, right? He's long-suffering. And He doesn't want us to turn to the left or to the right, but He wants us looking at His Word and keeping in the ways of God. Psalm 119:105 says this: Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and what? And a light unto my path, right? So His word is going to show us the way that we need to go. No doubt there's going to be temptations. No doubt there's going to be challenges along our way. And we'll come to those crossroads that I talked about that will maybe try to distract us. But when we don't let the word of God illumine our path, those things will come into our lives, and that's what's going to cause us to stumble. So we need to let God's word illumine our path and light our way. Well, I'll spare you from my singing tonight, but that hymn that goes, when we walk with the Lord, right, in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. So be thankful I'm not singing that for you tonight. So. But the final point here that Jeremiah brings out, he says that when you do all these things, when you stop, when you see, when you're going where you're supposed to be going, doing what you're supposed to be doing, when you take the time to study God's word, when you step out and follow His path, then finally here he says, you will find rest for your soul. I don't know about you, but sometimes kind of gets tiring going through the daily grind, right? going through kind of the same old humdrum thing every day, right? Same old, same old, same old. But, you know, when you stay on the old path, when you follow God's will, God's way, the Bible says you will find rest for your soul. You'll have satisfaction there. You'll have that peace and that blessing to endure. You'll be satisfied with whatever he calls you to do. I didn't want to go to the Pentagon at first, but once I was there, once I got in his will, I was satisfied. I found satisfaction. I had peace. Even though I didn't want to go there at first, he gave me that peace to endure. Israel and Judah, they were trying to fill an emptiness there apart from God, and their satisfaction never came. Their satisfaction never came. They never found rest for their soul because they chose the wrong path. Proverbs is chock full of encouragement for us to stay on the right path. It tells us what paths not to take as well. So, you know, Proverbs is just really encouraging as I was preparing this here. Proverbs 4:7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." But before wisdom, we need something else. We need to have something else before we get wisdom, and that's the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Remember back in Jeremiah chapter 2:19 that we talked about in the beginning here, it said the Lord was rebuking Israel for their backsliding, and he said it was because my fear is not in thee. That's why he was rebuking them. That's why they strayed from the path, because they were not fearful. They didn't have that reverent, holy fear of God. Proverbs 2:4-5 tells us this, says, "If thou seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures," talking about wisdom here, "then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." But this wasn't the case with Judah, was it? You know, they were not satisfied with what the Lord gave them. Despite all the bold warnings from Jeremiah, they still refused to do what was right. They still refused to turn back to God. And it was that willful disobedience that brought them down. And we got to be careful of that. We have to be careful of that. Now, I don't know where you're at tonight, but if you've been running from God, if you've never given your heart to Christ, don't be in that pattern of willful disobedience, right? You want to get in and follow the right path, follow the old path that the Lord wants you to follow here. Only being in the Word of God and following the will of God, you can truly find rest in God, or that satisfaction there. Matthew Henry had this to say. He said, "There is rest and peace in the ways of God and in the ordinances of the gospel. But the principal rest is in Christ himself, in whom the true believer that walks by faith in him has rest from the guilt and dominion of sin, from the curse and bondage of the law, and from the wrath of God in his conscience." He goes on to say, "He enjoys a spiritual peace, or a rest, if you will, arising from the blood sacrifice and the righteousness of Christ." And that's good right there, amen? We need to put our faith and trust in Christ. We need to move forward in Christ. We have his word. We have his path. We have his way. We need to follow that. We need to stay true to that. Make your way back to Jeremiah 6 if you can. We'll just get ready to finish up here for a final thought. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 17, and we'll read through verse 19. And Jeremiah 6:17 says, "Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." So as I mentioned at the beginning here, God is not willing that any should perish, right? He even gave backsliding Judah multiple chances to repent. He sent prophets to be his voice. He sent watchmen to warn them of their sinful ways. He even gave them counsel after counsel on how to get back on the right path. Yet they still rejected God. You know, he's given us his word. He sent us his son. He's given us the direction. He's given us the path that we need. He's given us pastors and preachers and teachers as our watchmen to expound the scriptures and preach the truth. But what happens? What happens today? Many think that they know better than God, don't they? And they turn away. They turn away. I'll read this brief comment from Matthew Henry, and then I'll turn it over to Pastor to close us out here tonight. Matthew Henry said this. He said, "The reason why sinners perish is because they do not hearken to the sound of the trumpet. And the reason why they do not hearken is simply because they choose not to." So it's all a choice that we have, folks. It's all a choice. We have a choice to make, to follow God, to follow the good way, to follow the old path, or to go our own way. In our verse here tonight, Jeremiah gives us some counsel there to choose the right path and to be blessed. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path. Where is that good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." So the question tonight is, what path will you choose? What path will you choose, Pastor?